The story goes that it was time for a couple to retire for the night, and you might think that they went directly up the stairs and went to lay down, but you all know it didn't go exactly like that. Going to bed for the night means making lunches for the next day, rinsing the bowls in the sink, taking meat out of the freezer for the next day, checking to make sure everything's ready for breakfast, and filling the sugar container and getting the coffee pot set up for the next morning, putting the wet clothes from the washer into the dryer, picking the newspapers that have been strewn and the game pieces you were ready to step on as you walked down the hall. Up, you forgot there was something to write on the grocery shopping list that ought to be put alongside. The dog needs a little bit of water in the dish before you go upstairs. Are the doors locked before you go upstairs? Have the children been checked on? Have the teeth been brushed? It's finally time to lay down. During this season of Lent, I invite you to take on the practice of pausing. You and I need some time to pause, to be. Pausing to hear that God is ultimately calling us to action. God consistently throughout the scriptures calls God's people to action. And God always equips people to tasks and prepares first God's people by pausing, as counterintuitive as that seems. This year we've been reading through the book of Mark. Mark, who prefers to give us accounts of Jesus' work in that immediate, no-nonsense form. We keep hearing that word, immediately. And we've paired it with our year-long verse of be doers of the word and not just hearers only. So today, we heard in Mark the disciples in conversation with those religious professionals on a discussion of fasting and wineskins that kind of sound odd to our modern day ears. Now, I have to say that fasting gets a little bit of a bad rap. Whenever we think of fasting, we necessarily think of that which we cannot have. We think of the drink we're not having, the food we're not having, the activity we're not engaging in. Fasting is intended to shift our focus. In other words, do not do this activity so you can focus on something else. For 24 hours, you would not eat so that you can focus on those who are hungry, pray, and work for their needs. Fasting necessarily refocuses your own attention. So, as Jesus is traveling with the disciples, the question comes, why is it that the disciples are not praying and fasting right now? Why aren't they doing this if it's such good work? When Jesus is present with the disciples, there's no need to fast. When Jesus is present in the flesh with the disciples, Jesus who heals all and restores all and cares for all, Jesus who is the incarnation, there's no absence. There's no need. Fasting is only For a time, he begins to teach. Certainly, this is not a need. When he's present, this gets the religious professionals' brains going and figuring, and how can this be? It doesn't make sense. It's so different than what we've been taught up until this time. What does it mean to be in the presence of God? This pausing to be business makes our brains rattle a little bit. Let's pair it for a moment with the words from the psalmist. The psalmist who calls us to know and to be with God. Once you have found you and I, someone that you want to be close with, you never thought that I'd be quoting here when Harry met Sally, but forgive me for a moment. You understand what it means to be in someone's presence. Psalm 103 gives us that kind of a glimpse. A God who forgives and a God who heals, who is merciful and who is just, who is slow to anger, who is full of love, and who does not give us what it is that we deserve. You see, it is just being in the presence of God that makes us better. Better than who we would be to begin with. It's as if God's love just rubs off on us. We're more likely to think about how we even treat those who we don't particularly prefer. You know, those who make us want to pull our hair out a little bit, whoever that might be for you. When we pause to be, we notice that Jesus was never talking about the wineskins exactly to begin with, pouring wine into new wineskins, even when he was teaching the disciples and those who gathered. We hear a little bit differently. This is what we call the observer effect. In science, the term observer means the act of observing will influence the phenomenon being observed. For example, for us to see an electron, stick with me a minute, a photon must first interact with it, and this interaction will change the path of the electron. In other words, we change when we know that someone else is watching us. You all know this. We change when we know that someone else is watching us. We absorb what others have done around us. This has negative and positive possibilities. When we pause, when we seek rest in God's presence, we seek that wholeness. We seek that which is God's presence, and we realize that we never were the ones calling the shots. We never were the ones making those big, large decisions to begin with. We share the load, and we offer ourselves again to God. We are necessarily changed by being in the presence of God. Frederick Buechner, the great Presbyterian theologian and pastor, says, "Faith is the word that describes the direction our feet start moving when we find that we are loved." We are being called into the presence of God for our own care. One of the profound ways that we are in the presence of God for rest and for wholeness, like I talked to the children about, to receive, is communion. The communion liturgy that we'll use today was written by a colleague of mine for the last Advent season. She wrote it in response to the large number of words that you and I hear each and every day. While it varies the sheer number of words that any one of us hears, studies have shown that the average person speaks approximately 17,000 words a day. So, most of us hear approximately 17,000 words a day, probably more, depending on what profession or where you find yourself on any given day. Some of you who are around more people, multiply that out a couple of times. Those of you who are in places where you're not around people, reduce it. You probably don't hear quite so many words. My colleague, the Reverend Candy LaBarre, lead pastor at a church up in Stroudsburg, was motivated to write a great Thanksgiving that was the volume of a tweet. It's approximately 150 words. The Great Thanksgiving, 150 words. So that the movement of the Spirit would have the most space. That there would be pauses. And we, as a community together, would know the space for the Spirit's movement in communion. I knew it when I heard it. It would be a match for our series on pausing in God's presence. I pray as we celebrate communion this morning, you too will pause reflectively in those spaces. I pray today and in this Lenten season that you will find practices and spaces, times to pause in God's presence. I imagine your days feel an awful lot like mine, and there's always more things to do, even as you're on your way up the stairs to bed. There's always more things to do. But we know that even just being in the presence of God changes us. It necessarily changes us for the good. It makes us more like God, more gracious and more forgiving, more compassionate and more tender, more holistically full of love. May you know more of God this Lenten journey. This, my friends, is the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.